Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you and good morning. So I'm going to speak this morning about partnership, around the Manifesto for Partnership and what that means. And I think that in the past we've often talked about the student experience as if it's something that's done to students when they arrive. It's something that, that happens to them. They don't have a great deal to say about it. It's written in shiny prospectuses and that's about as far as we get. And I really want to talk today about students as co-creators of their experience and about being partners in the student experience. So here we are. There we are. So we're going to look at three things very quickly. Firstly, the Manifesto for Partnership and what that means. And it was a document that we released in October 2012, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And we even have a video, so that's, you know, easy, just to ease you in the morning. We're then going to talk about the student experience of learning or students' experiences of learning and the diversity of their communities and about talking about what students care about as opposed to what they demand. And then we're going to talk about resourcing students to lead. And what that and the actual implications of doing partnership as opposed to talking about partnership. The Manifesto for Partnership was an ideological document, not a report or a research document, but actually an ideological manifesto that we released last year. It was our reaction to the market in higher education, what we saw as being a fundamentally bad way of doing higher education that commodified education into bits that students that would then pick up. It created almost like a tick box way of delivering a good experience, sort of according to what the NSS said was good or bad, as opposed to what was a fundamental part of learning. And it sort of stripped out what I believed was really important around education, which was the responsibility to deliver. So the responsibility that students have, not just to turn up and show up and get given their experience, but to deliver that, to be part of the people delivering that, to creating that, to be part of that community and taking that responsibility for themselves. And we believe really that students have an awful lot to offer. And that's really at the core of the manifesto, that that students are the ones that can deliver this, that can bring this and create this. And that students deserve to be challenged, they deserve to take risks, and they deserve to take responsibility. And there's nothing in the market that creates that. If anything, it discourages, I think, universities from doing that. It discourages lecturers from pushing their students to take risks because there's too much to lose. It is too risky in and of itself. And I think that's very sad because that's where innovation and creation comes from. It comes from challenge and risk. And the difficulty, like I said before, the difficulty with the way the system was moving, the way that it was going, was that what you were having was people were looking to the issues that were covered in the National Student Survey as issues that were important, the issues that we should reach to, as opposed to looking at course organisation and basic satisfaction as a right, as a simple right. When you turn up and you take on your course, that's what you deserve to have. But that's not about learning. That's about the basics of a university. If you're not fulfilling what the NSS says, you probably shouldn't be in the education business. So this is much more about enhancement and about really getting back to the roots of education. So that's the manifesto, and I can circulate it. But please have a read because it's all covered in there. And this is a video that we actually produced for students' unions and course reps, so that they could sort of understand what we were talking about in terms of partnership. So if we could play the video, that would be fantastic.
Visit our website, www.nusconnect.org.uk/partnership.
So that was a video, just to wake you up. It's just to sort of get everyone thinking. It's really interesting. When we first started talking about partnership, we had a lot of pushback, actually, from our members around it. They were sort of like, well, how do we say what we want? This is an issue of value for money. This is an issue that the university is not living up to its responsibilities. And now when we talk about it, students say, well, yeah, obviously. Why would we not be doing this? So There we are. Thank you. Okay, fantastic. What the manifesto does is take a shift. It shifts the focus away from individual student engagement in learning to a cross-institutional partnership ethos. And I have to say this now, actually, that individual student engagement is really important. Engagement in learning and teaching, engagement in quality are really fantastic, and it's something that the sector's worked on long and hard to improve students' experiences. And it's important because what it does is enable students to engage in things that already exist around them and be part of that process. But it's difficult and it creates a shortfall because students are engaging in a process that already exists. They're not part of creating it. They're not part of using their innovation and their creativity for creating something new. And what it does is say to students, this exists, like it, whether you like it or not, you can make it a little bit better, you can tinker around the edges, but what you can't do is actually radically change what's happening to you. And actually, sometimes that's exactly what's needed. And it also creates a little bit of a sort of an assurance model of student experience as opposed to an enhancement model. It doesn't enable students to actually change things. It sort of meets a standard and ticks a box, and that's about as far as we get. As the video said, this is really what's really core to students' experiences is that students are able to lead on that, and a fundamental part of that is having well-funded, independent student unions who are able to take decisions on behalf of their members. The manifesto is quite pushy in saying this, but students have often only ever been engaged in issues that universities think they should be engaged in, so quality learning and teaching, for example. The manifesto is really clear in saying that actually students are impacted by, or there is an effect on students from every policy decision of an institution. Every decision that the institution makes will affect students, and so therefore students should be part of that decision. And it's fairly inexcusable why they wouldn't be. It also looks at building learning communities based on shared responsibility that takes into account the diversity of students and experiences. And again, this is where the students' union is necessary. Our student bodies are made up of hundreds and hundreds of different types of students that come from different backgrounds that are studying in different ways. And often, actually, the needs and wants of those students will conflict. And so it's for the students to come together and decide sometimes, actually, somebody will lose out in the fight for different resources or priorities or whatever. But that's not necessary. Often, universities make the wrong decision when it comes to that. And you can see that in the satisfaction results, actually, around part-time students or mature students or retention of poorer students or the attainment gap between BME students and white students. You can see that universities often aren't taking in account the diversity of students, and students are often best placed to do that. And again, looking at what students are, what they care about as opposed to what they demand. And enabling students, as the video said, enabling students to shape things at a course level, because this is where their communities exist. This is what they're touching and feeling in terms of their experience on campus or in their university. And these are the people who are shaping their experience: their lecturers they're coming into face-to-face contact with, their peers, the administration staff. I cannot tell you how many students complain to me that the thing that affects their experience the most is the fact that there's somebody without a smile on the front desk when they're panicking about what their deadline is or where they hand their essay in. It's those sort of those issues being taken seriously as a partner. And as I said, just quickly, consumer power is insufficient. We've set students up as consumers. We've said that they're more powerful in the system. But all it does is enable students to say whether they like or dislike something in the first place, not to change it, not to make it better, not to make it look different in the first place. And it's a power to demand more for your money, but it does nothing to help them engage in their communities. And as we know, and we'll go on to talk about, communities are the most important part of learning. And it's the power to complain if you don't like your experience, but actually not to take action to shape it. And so for me, consumerism is actively disempowering. It doesn't actually enable students to do a great deal in their courses. The students' experiences of learning. Learning happens in a community. The student experience is very individualistic. And when we actually know what the lifeblood of education is: innovation, creation, it's collaboration, and ultimately it's community. And retention and success derives from a sense of belonging. We know this. We talk about student societies. We talk about students active. You can tell the students who are going to be successful because they're the ones with their hands up. They're the ones that feel comfortable talking and saying the things and answering the questions in classes. And if we're not creating those communities and we're not helping to create for students to work together and collaborate, what we're not doing is creating an environment that enables them to sort of align their experience with their aspirations of what they wanted in the first place. And student engagement practice has to cope with students, as we said, who have multiple identities, who have time commitments, who have caring responsibilities, who have come from different backgrounds, have different levels of social and cultural capital. And again, universities actually traditionally have not been very good at this. And if we only talk about the student experience, we're only going to capture a good experience for one type of student. And so far, that seems to be a middle class, generally women, actually, 18 to 21-year-old, full-time undergraduate. And that's the student experience we seem to be catering for. So we have to take in the complexity of the student body. And really, we have to ask, and I think this is key, how inclusive is the learning community rather than how satisfied are you as a student? Because ultimately, surely that gets down the very key to whether someone's enjoying their time, whether somebody feels that they're able to contribute, whether somebody feels that they're part of the academic community. So what is a learning community? I think we'd recognise all these things from the list. Scheduled contact hours, yep, great, fine, that's pretty important. But all the following things as well. So office hours, academic support, personal tutoring and engagement with specialist staff. And again, that seems really obvious. There's lots of institutions that say they'll do those things. But how meaningful is that? How meaningful, when we say that lecturers have office hours, actually, are universities giving them the opportunity and the time to use that space properly, to have their diaries clear? Are they trained? Do students know that they can come and contact them? Are they contactable online rather than just having to go up and knock on their door? The number of mature students or students with caring responsibilities that tell me that they, I can't go and see my lecturer in office hours because I'd have to get nursery care for a 10-minute appointment. It's unreasonable. It's completely unreasonable, and we're not doing anything to facilitate those students. Things around academic representation and feedback. Again, if you're part of a community, you're taken seriously and you're listened to. And so having not just being asked to feedback with a module report at the end of the year, but being asked for your feedback, being spoken to as an adult and being treated as an important part of that community is really key. Interdisciplinary and or learning and teaching development opportunities. So seeing employability as an issue of personal development as opposed to something that, again, we just sort of spoon feed to students. Peer learning and co-curricular activities, again, being taken seriously, not just putting group learning in the timetable, but teaching students how to work in groups because this might be the first time they've done it, and supporting them to do it. And things like student activism and volunteering, which are a really healthy part of a student experience and of students' experiences, and support them to move beyond sort of the traditional realm of just turning up to lectures and then leaving. And again, help to create communities and environments of community. And then enterprise and employability. But you probably recognise all those things from the list as being a sort of things that you would hope to happen anyway. So then finally, resourcing students to lead. This is where it maybe becomes a little bit uncomfortable. Often people will say, well, partnership to me sounds a little bit wet. It sounds like something that everybody can do. And there's lots of universities that now talk the talk on partnership. I'm not convinced very many of them actually walk the walk, because partnership is much easier to say than it is to do. And it requires resource, both in time and in money. There's lots of complaints I hear from senior management at universities. They'll often say, but my student union is not very good at this, so they don't represent this group of students, so they don't go and do that. I think what student unions do on the money that they're given is absolutely incredible. But the expectations that we put on them to deliver, we expect them to deliver far more than is possible. And if we're meaningful about the way we talk about students as being active in their own experiences, if you agreed with what was on the slides before this, then you have to agree that we have to enable students to be able to do that. And that means that has to be resourced. And the key example I'll give to this is course reps. I travel to around all over the place to talking to course reps. There's thousands of them, and they're absolutely fantastic. They're usually, actually, interestingly, they do not make up what we would consider sort of the normal engaged students. So they're actually normally not undergraduate, full-time, 18 to 21-year-old middle class. They're usually from from a more deprived background. They're normally mature. They normally have caring responsibilities. Often they're international. These are students who are desperately trying to have a say and shape their education. We wouldn't expect staff to turn up and work for a year, 2 years, 3 years, without personal development, without support, without training, without induction. And it's the same for course reps. Often student unions have a debate whether they should pay their reps or not. I don't think that matters. I think what matters is resourcing course reps to actually be able to engage, to train, to turn up. And so if you want to increase that, create that inclusive environment, you actually have to put money into it. Often student unions can do an awful lot on very little, but supporting that, I think, is very important. It's also key, if you believe that students are partners, that you give them the responsibility to decide where that money's spent. That's, again, part of the importance of an independent students' union. And part of our responsibility, actually, to teach students what it means to be a responsible actor as part in a community. Responsibility doesn't mean anything if you don't give them the time and space to do that. If you say, well, you're in this community, but I'm going to tell you where you should spend your money and I'm going to tell you where you should be 9 to 5, that's not actually enabling students to sort of turn up into the workplace as responsible people. And actually, you can see how student unions have decided differently according to their membership. So I'm going to Huddersfield later this afternoon, and the students' union puts an awful lot into employability. They've seen that this is something that their students care about, and that's what they're focusing on. Whereas if you go to somewhere like Leeds, for example, they've put an awful lot into representation and into academic change. And that's because that student union is reacting to what students care about in that institution, often much quicker than the institution is reacting. And as I said, actually, what students deliver on the money that they spend is pretty incredible. Universities can't do it, so you should take a chance on your students' union. So to sum up, students' experiences are rich and diverse. They're shaped by their communities and their context. They're shaped by their backgrounds, and they're shaped by their course. And we should enable them to talk about that. And we should build courses and universities around those experiences, as opposed to expecting students to change and arrive and fit into a specific model. To support students as real actors in their communities and real sort of to be part of an academic community takes effort, a lot of effort, leadership and engagement from both from staff and students at all levels of the institution, and this requires a partnership approach. Student unions will deliver much of this better and more authentically, and I think that's what's really key, more authentically, closer to what students care about than universities. And while universities have the resource, in addition to specific academic and professional expertise, this is what universities really can provide, but allow students to provide and take responsibility for the things that they can. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.